welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start in a passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." This is now the New Living. "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." Okay? This is pretty interesting to see the salvation adding 3,000 souls. This is the church really, you know, kicking into gear and really getting going. But what's interesting to see is in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. It's interesting to see, as I've read that, to see fellowship right there sandwiched in between doctrine and prayers. You know, it's great to grow in doctrine, know why you believe what you believe from the Word of God, study to show yourself approved. I'm all about that, believe it, excited, praying, being diligent. But you see, there's another element right there that was part of it, that was just as much part of it. Fellowship, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. So there's this powerful truth of fellowship, this togetherness, this communing together. The Hebrews writer puts it this way. He says, "So now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning." Or the old King James says, "As you see the day approaching." And we can see the day approaching. And so much more that we need that. But I love the way the Hebrew writer puts it. We need each other. And that's basically the message this morning. We need each other. It's a profound truth that we've got to come back to and realize on so many different levels. I think one of the ways it probably was brought to just the reality in the forefront was the pandemic over the last year. You know, when you're not able to gather together, you know, you just kind of realize, oh, man, there's something missing. There's a certain togetherness. There's a certain wanting to be together and to gather together. Now, I want to say this, though, too, as frustrating as it was to not be able to gather, I'm very thankful for technology. I'm very thankful for all the different ways that we can connect. And even today, if maybe you're watching by live stream, there are times that you can't physically get together. You can't gather together. It could be health reasons. It could just be timing. It could be planning and different things like that. You know, in their day, they didn't have cell phones and Zoom sessions and all that stuff. The only way to gather together in his name was to physically be together. But we can also be thankful for all the other different ways that we can connect and be connected. That's also good. Praise God. But we see that need to be together, that need to be able to fellowship together. And it's important to understand, too, you know, Jesus put it this way. He said, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." I think it's just two in the midst, or 20 or 200 or whatever. Two or more, I'm in their midst. In other words, he is corporately in a way that he isn't when it's just you and your devotion time. It's important to understand that. By design, you are not going to fulfill and get everything God has for you and walk out all the good works he's ordained to you to walk in apart from the body of Christ. That's not his design. Praise God. I believe in devotion times and growing and all that. We need that. We need that vital contact between us and God. Need it. But it seems like we can kind of get in ditches when it comes to this. You know, you can get so body-oriented that you kind of neglect that personal devotion time, or you can get just, oh, I'm just me and God and me and God, and you don't really appreciate and properly discern your need for the body. And so we need this healthy balance between, yes, I've got a powerful, vibrant personal walk with God, but yes, God's going to use the body of Christ in my life. Because he's there when two or more are gathered in his, he's there. No, we know that he lives in us. We know that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We know the Holy Spirit lives. We just had it come out of a series of the Spirit within. Jesus said, when he comes, he will abide with you forever. So no matter where you are, he's always there with you. But he's there in a special way when two or more are gathered in his name. He's there in your midst. Like when we come together corporately this morning to worship God. Yeah, you know God, you know the Spirit of God, but you sense a corporate presence of the Spirit of God. He's there in our midst. God loves to bless the body of Christ. He loves to corporately manifest himself in the body in a corporate way. And so this morning, we're just going to look at that a little bit. We're going to look at some of the different ways that we need each other. And these are design things. Sometimes the missing link, you know, that you're looking for can just be a little bit of fellowship. Just a little bit of hanging out. And I just trusting that God's going to speak to each of us this morning as we need this. But the first level area we'll just talk about as far as we need each other is the fellowship of what we're simply calling the fellowship of the gospel. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There we see that to that day. But there's a fellowship in the gospel. Now, when the Apostle Paul is writing here, he's acknowledging that church as a whole, that Philippian church. He's saying, thank you for your fellowship in the gospel. All right? There is a broad context of the fellowship of the gospel. Now, some of you might have seen The Lord of the Rings, all right? That first installment was The Fellowship of the Ring, all right? What is a fellowship? It's where you've got a group coming together for a common purpose. And here you almost kind of had kind of figurehead representatives, you know, in Tolkien's world where you had an elves and you had, help me out here. You had elves. Dwarfs and halflings, the hobbits. So you had all these different creatures. You had man, you know, but these were all kind of almost like figurehead representatives that had this commission, and they were going to take this evil ring and bring it to its destruction. And that's what you got. This whole big trilogy is just that journey, but it's a fellowship journey. It's a companionship. There's something that they're doing together to get it from here to there. And what Paul is talking about here is the fellowship of the gospel. We have also a fellowship too, but it's not a fellowship to bring a ring for its destruction. We're here with a fellowship to bring the gospel into all the world. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So that's our commission, the fellowship of the gospel. Our commission to go into all the world. There is a fellowship. In fact, to the end of the age, he reiterates it here in Matthew 24. It says, in this gospel, the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. We know that God's not slack concerning his promise, but he's just long-suffering, not wanting any to perish. So that's his Father heart for man, to want man to come in and to know the good news and the gospel. But we see that we as a church in a broad spectrum, we have a fellowship of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul here is talking to the Philippians as a church. And one of the powerful ways that we've got to discern that we're in this thing together is we've got to see that as a community of churches. We're the body of Christ. You know, we need each other. in this earth. I'm telling you what, if you're a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church that loves Jesus and wants to see people get saved, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. You don't have to believe what I believe about the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to believe everything that I believe about all the little nuances and the side things that aren't the foundation of Christ. You know, I mean, they're all scriptural, they're all biblical, I believe them, and you can listen to the last 3 weeks as far as my heart and my desire for those different things. But ultimately, we need to get people saved. We need to get people to come into the kingdom. And that's going to be churches working together. I had a great privilege and honor back in 1996. I was able to be part of a Billy Graham crusade in Minneapolis. And a lot of times what people don't realize is before that Billy Graham crusade is months and months, you've got all the local churches coming together, working together, learning how to be altar workers together, learning how to follow up, working with each other, getting along with each other. So when Billy gives that altar call and then the altar workers come, that represents a beautiful tapestry of local churches that love Jesus, believe in God, and you know are wanting to see the kingdom reached. You know, and see the harvest reached. And so there's that beautiful fellowship of the gospel that we're all part of. And that was Jesus' prayer. When you read John chapter 17, he said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And you see that language, especially as you see the day approaching. You know, the days are getting very short for us to be really defiant and particular and divisive and all that stuff over our differences. Have you noticed that? Pretty soon, as this world is just kind of getting crazier and crazier, you're just looking for somebody who believes the Bible and loves Jesus and the gospel. And you're really not that particular anymore. It's kind of like if you were on a battlefield, you know? We have all these, you know, glorified differences in our country. But I'll tell you, if you're a soldier and on the battlefield, you see another American. Yeah, all right. We're on the same. And that's the same way with us as you see the day approaching. All of a sudden, we can't be as nitpicky as we used to be. We need a brother and sister in the Lord. We need to come together. We need to unite. That's why we do that, even at Door of Life. We come together with our brothers and sister churches in Door County, and we'll have a joint VBS so we can reach our children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll come together and be able to do that and join resources and get the word of God and get the gospel into their hearts. What is it? That's the fellowship of the gospel. We do that with Bridges. We'll have our international students who hopefully next year will start coming back in numbers again. And what do? We get networked as churches and believers in Jesus and want to see these young people influenced and for Christ and to get the gospel and to get the word of God into them. What is that? That's the fellowship of the gospel. We're all working together. You know, that's the ultimate thing that's happening and that God wants to accomplish in the earth. Other things that we do here too is, you know, the men's retreat, we'll do that. We've got our youth group. You know, a lot of times we've got a kind of a county youth group that we get together. And what is that? That's the fellowship of the gospel. Yeah, we're a little different in some different areas, but we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe the word of God. We want to see people get saved, born again. You know, that's our heart. That's the fellowship of the gospel. We need each other. It's not like we're Door of Life and we don't think we're anything all that. We are dependent on other churches in this area to get the job done in this area. God has called us to work together and be a cog in the wheel. It's nothing for the glory of Door of Life. We are just down here, same business, trying to get people saved so we can wrap this thing up so the end can come. Praise God, especially as we see that day approaching. Again, even more so. So there is that. There is a fellowship of the gospel. We need each other. There's also a fellowship of the local church family, okay? This is a beautiful thing that God did. You know, when you got born again, when you got saved, one of the very first things that happened to you was, and you can't see this with your eyes, but you were baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That happened at the point of conversion. When you called upon the name of the Lord, you didn't just become a child of God. You became a child of God in the body of Christ. You got placed in the body of Christ. And this is where we see the Apostle Paul. He says, then we will no longer be... You know what? I'm going to actually go one more and come back to that. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We need each other. He has done this intentionally so that... Every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so there would be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of the Anointed One, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. That's a pretty wonderful thing, and that's the power of a local church family too, is it gives you expression for how God has fashioned, created you. It gives expression for your part of the body, where you can come and minister and support. It doesn't mean that you're on a platform on a Sunday morning having to do something to have that expression at all. Doesn't mean that at all. In fact, we see here when the Apostle Paul is talking about the church as a whole, he said, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every new wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So we see that there is this design interdependency. This is why I can't do it all in my prayer closet. This is why I got to come out of my prayer closet. Remember what he said? Jesus said, go to your prayer closet. He said, make it between you and the Father so that he may reward you openly. That means you come out of the prayer closet with something that you got in the prayer closet that you can give out once you come out openly. And a lot of times you can come in a setting like this. You know, we have that fellowship time by design between worship and the ministry of the word. So some of that can happen. So there can be some exchanges, things that you get in you to be able to get out and get that supply of the Spirit. And that's the kind of stuff that just goes on in the local body because God wants that exchange. This is part of the ministry here. You might come to church on a Sunday morning and the thing you needed was something somebody said to you in the foyer on the way out. You know, praise God. The pastor's message was still important. It still fed you. It was still, you know, of value. But God really had that thing because there was something that it was like a Holy Ghost collision, you know? Just so happened. But you were just there. I remember when I was at Rhema and I was, you know, I had a good computer background and aptitude. And like I kind of told you guys, I was doing some cold calling and things I just really didn't want to do and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, oh, I just wish I could find that job, you know, that perfect job. And I'm in the papers. I'm doing everything that I could do. And I was just at, they had like School of the Bible, which is like a Sunday school class before church. And we were just finishing up our School of the Bible class and we were just dismissing. And somebody said, oh, one more thing. We're looking for a computer operator guy for this, and it's for a Christian company. I thought, oh, wow. I mean, I was like on my way out the door when he just had that. And I went there and I got it and I got the job and I was there my whole time when I was in Tulsa. It was a divine appointment that I didn't get in the paper, that I didn't get in all my due diligence. I was just at church. And God used that occasion by a supply that God puts into you. Now, I know we could have a testimony service here this morning and go for days of different ways, different things that you've experienced those collisions. You got up on a Sunday morning with the intention just to come to church and worship God and hear the word, but along the way, other stuff happens. That's the cool thing. That's why we need each other. There's that every joint supplies, there's that increasing of the body in love. Sometimes people will say, Pastor Ed, what is the vision of Door of Life Christian Church? And it's kind of like, well, I want to be X number of people here and X number of people here and here and here and here. I don't have any of that. I've never had that. In fact, there's just something in me that goes, oh, I don't. I have great vision. And vision is Ephesians 2:10. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works he's ordained you to walk in. That's my heart for you, is for you to find what that is and do it. If it doesn't include any kind of ministry and Door of Life, I don't care. If it's starting a business out there and you're doing your thing and you're doing it as unto the Lord and whatever God has called you to do, and that's great. I'm not looking for something to measure my progress of whether we fulfill. I'll find that out at the judgment seat of Christ. I'll find that out. I don't need that here for validation. I want you to find out what God has called you to do. That's it. Period. End of story. That's all my heart is. That's the vision for Door of Life, is for you to get full of God, full of his word, and to do what he's called you to do. It doesn't have to do it in a way that makes Door of Life look good. Could care less. I don't even need to know about it. But you find out what God has called you to do. You go after it. That's our heart. That's our vision. Because I believe that's the vision of our Lord. That's what makes him the chief shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is your Lord. That's where the scripture says, pastors don't lord over the flock of God. I can't lord over you. I can feed you and help facilitate, you know, your walk with the Lord, but ultimately it's you and him. He loves you. He is a good shepherd. He wants to guide you into those green pastures, into those still waters, into the good works he's ordained you to walk in. But so much of that is going to come through. It's going to come through the body. And in fact, it's interesting when you see, how emphatic Paul is just about that local church family. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, of course, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. New Living, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the family of faith. You know, Jesus said they're going to know you're Christians by your love one for another. There's something about this that gets the world's attention. When they see you loving each other and taking care of each other, they see family demonstrated in a way that goes, wow, that's the kind of family I want to be a part of. We see the negative side with gangs and violence and all that kind of junk. This is the positive side where we're doing good. Of course, we're doing good for all. I mean, that food pantry we have back there is for everybody, whosoever will. But those occasions that we can help each other out and be a blessing to each other, you know, that's a great witness to the world when they see, when you can say, yeah, I was in this situation, but yeah, a friend of mine at church just came and took care of this or whatever like that. Those are good testimonies. That's the kind of stuff that the Lord loves. They're going to know you're Christians by your love one for another. And that's a great part of why we need each other. So we can be there. We can be there for each other. We can hang out. And the other thing that we find out too is, David has the halftime for men. And that whole concept of halftime is very much the concept of why we are here on a Sunday morning. You're coming off the playing field of life, as you say. And really, that's what we are doing. We're coming off the playing field, we'll just say, of this world and the world that we live in to where we can come in and be of like precious faith. We know what it's like, you know, because we know that we are not the home team down here. The Bible describes us as strangers, as pilgrims, as aliens. So you shouldn't feel perfectly at home down here. In fact, your citizenship is in heaven. That's ultimately where we're heading. There is, by design again, a discomfort with this world, but when we come together, again, doesn't mean we perfectly get each other, but we have a common faith where we can come together and we can cheer each other on. You can share something that God did in your life that another brother and sister can appreciate that somebody out in the world just can't appreciate. There's no expression. Here there's expression for fellowship. And you need to tell that. Because they might be going through something and they need to hear that. They just need to be encouraged that God is doing that today. And there is people getting saved and there are people getting healed and encouraged and built up. That testimony, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. And there's just such a powerful flow that comes through. And again, just to kind of remember too that we are one body with many members. You know, if you've got just one sore tooth and you bite down, just one sore tooth. Your whole mouth feels that pain. In fact, when you bite and chew, you might just chew on the other side of your mouth. You'll chew where that pain isn't because there's such a nurturing and a caring. And that is, again, what is so beautifully described here in Corinthians, that we have that. So when somebody's hurting, we can gather around them and pray. And we can gather around them and agree. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other in a Door of Life family level. And this is why several years ago we started, you know, implementing Door of Life family events. Last month, or I guess it was May, we did Frozen 2. Just a little family movie night. But we did the movie, and then we just kind of broke it into some parts, and we just talk about it spiritually. What did God show you? What did God show you? And hear kids and family just kind of talk about it, different things like that. But we're going to continue to do some more events this year. We've kind of come through everything and getting normalized again. But we like to try to have some events, you know, every other month or so to where we can get together, create some events so those collisions can take place. You know, I mean, it's an amazing thing when, you know, you come and all of a sudden you just get hanging out, you talk to that person and yeah, wow, okay, cool. God, this was a God-ordained event. I know it was a go-karting mini golf event. Doesn't sound very spiritual, but God uses it to bring people together, to bring relationships together, that which every joint supplies. So we need each other on that level too. But then finally, I just want to say, there's friends in Christ, okay? We have the body of Christ, But there are also what I'm just simply calling friends in Christ. These are people, many times, they may not go to your church. Maybe you met them 10 years ago, and you just, there's just like a connection there. You pick up the phone, you haven't talked to them in, you know, 5, 10 years, and it's like you pick up right where you left off. There's just like friends in Christ that God hooks you up with in the Spirit. And that's a blessing. You know, this was some instructions. Again, in Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And a lot of times, this is where those special friendships will happen. You're not necessarily planning it. I had one of these happen when I was at school. I was going through my car stuff at school, and I was just under the hood, and I had a friend, just a guy I didn't even know, Steve. He was just in the same complex, and he said, hey, can I help you there? You know, he just saw I had a car issue, and he worked in a car parts place, a car servicing place, and so he knew some things, and he was able to help me out and get me the part and things like that and got me on road. It was so cool. But then I made a friendship with Steve, and little did I realize that when I graduated from Rhema, you know, a few years later, I was going to actually go to his church in Hopkins, Minnesota, you know, and I was going to go on the streets with him and witness and evangelize years later. I didn't know that. He just took an interest in me. He just wasn't thinking. I mean, he could have went around. He just said, oh, poor Rhema student. You know, I've been there, done that. But he just stopped, and he just did that. You know, it was so kind for him to do that and to take the time. And I remember still us driving and going and doing and getting that part. But little did I realize what an amazing, vital connection that would be. So sometimes, you know, when you get those little promptings of the Spirit to just maybe do this or just say something or do that, those little promptings, you know, can be part of the good works he's ordained you to walk in that open up those relationships and those vital things. You know, a lot of the evangelist stories that I tell you is because I met Steve, who just took an interest in me while I was working on my car. I was a second-year student. He was a first-year student. We weren't even in the same year, but it was just one of those things. Special friends. I love the heart of Paul. Now, a lot of times, these are the part of scriptures that we kind of gloss over and really read really fast, but we're going to read it really slow, just this morning especially. But the Apostle Paul, just talking about his companions, all right? He said, this is just a few verses, but I mean, there's more names. If you go ahead and read Romans chapter 16, it's just amazing. He says, greet Emplatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend. Stachys, greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who's been a mother to me. I mean, this is in the Bible. I don't know how many times I've stood on these scriptures, Bitcoin does, but they're there for a reason, though. We need each other. Do you know Paul wasn't a lone ranger? You read that. Paul wasn't about numbers. He was about people. He was about people and their life and doing what God had called them to do. That was his heart. But you see that personal connection? So I've been encouraged sometimes to slow down and read some of those just with that intention of realizing this is God-breathed scripture by the Holy Spirit. He wanted us all to know that Rufus was picked out by the Lord to be his very own. And that his mother was like a mother to Paul. Seems like an extraneous little piece of information. God breathed, inspired scripture. It's precious. It's community. It's special friends. I love it. My dear friend. My dear friend. I mean, Paul, you think of Paul and you think ministry and busy and doing all this stuff, but you just see a man here who's just so relationally connected with these people that he just stops and describes about them. That's pretty amazing. I can see why They continued in doctrine and fellowship and prayer. There was a connection. There's a connection that God had there that he wanted us to know, to understand. Praise God. And you know, I could talk about, I could just stand here for a long time and just tell you stuff. I mean, I'll just tell you this. I'm here, ultimately, today, Door of Life, just because of fellowship I had with Julie's uncle. We were just talking fellowship in the car one day, and he said, yeah, are you and Julie going to be starting a church someday? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, oh, yeah. Someday. And he just said, he didn't know he said it by the Spirit of God, but he said by the Spirit of God, maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time. I mean, he suggested that. Maybe now's the time. He didn't say today is the time. He said, maybe now's the time. You know? And when he suggested that maybe now is the time, I could just sense that stirring of the Holy Spirit. He had no idea what he did. He had no idea. But a big part of why I'm here is that set this into motion. And as soon as, you know, he just asked me the question, would you be willing to take a little job on the side if it meant being able to go into the ministry like that? And of course, I said, yes, that's what I would do. Of course, I'm working consultant. I'm making great money and different things like that. But, you know, he's asking me that question. You know, how precious is that? And I just remember when I went away from that conversation, just the Lord dealing with me said, you know, Ed, you don't even really have a resume ready if that opportunity presented itself. And I said, oh, I know. And I just began to think forward, like that could happen. And so after I got done with my conversation, I prepared a resume. And it was like 1 week later, I got an email from a group here in Door County that expressed an interest in starting a new church. I mean, it was just bang, 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 like that. But that started with just fellowship, just conversation, and it just literally helped change the course of my whole life, my whole direction. We need each other. We need each other. God knows how to speak through people. You know, sometimes your family, your close ones, it can be the hardest for them because we know each other according to the flesh. We kind of do the math. We discount. We try to run them. But so sometimes God might use people, might use your family. He might use people that aren't your family. But what you're listening for is the witness of the Spirit. It's the same Spirit. There's a joint in the supply that we all have as believers in Christ. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for the precious body of Christ, that we are not alone, but that we have been placed in the precious body of Christ, that we are, whether we're a hand, a foot, an eye, a mouth, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, and so much that we are all part together with you. I just pray, Father, that our heart, we would properly discern the body of Christ, that we would see this is bigger than ourselves, that we would see this as bigger than Door of Life, that we would see this, Lord, as a fellowship of the gospel, that we are called individually, as a church, as a community of churches, as the body of Christ in the earth, to declare the precious good news of Jesus Christ. Help us to see that big picture, that we are part of something wonderful. We are part of the expression of your love through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'll just help us to see that. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful. I'm not alone. By design, the first thing you did was baptize me into the body of Christ. I am right where you want me to be. I am your workmanship, created by you. I'm taking paths that you've prearranged for me as the Lord of my life. I thank you, Jesus, for the local church, for a local family, people who I can love, who I can minister to and be ministered by. Show me, Lord, the gifts, the callings that you've worked in me. I want to walk them out, Lord. And I pray out ahead, those special friends, help me to be that person who doesn't just care about my own interests, but the interest of others. That I could step out and do and say what you show me to do, to bless other people, to make a connection, to make a friend. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your precious body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what's important to see? The body of Christ is precious. It's very easy to stand up and point and take pot shots at the body of Christ and the problem with the body of Christ. I know, believe me, I've been in this enough where I hear it, I know it. And can I point out and can I see things? Yes, I'm not saying they don't exist. But I could do that with myself too. And that's not what God wants my attitude with me either. He wants me to see myself according to who I am in Christ. He wants us to discern the body of Christ too. He wants us to see the champion in the body of Christ. He wants us to see the child, the prize. He wants us to see his heart. When you tear down the body of Christ, that's his heart. That's what Jesus died for. Be very slow to pronounce judgment. I mean, there can be times when God uses things by the Spirit of God, definitely. But don't be quick to try to distinguish yourself. It's precious. His body is precious. We need each other. Satan is the accuser of the brethren for a reason. He doesn't want this. God does want this. We need to protect that. To love, to appreciate. Yeah, community. We're going to have churches that don't agree with us. Brother, sister, I'll tell you what. And if you're honest, man, you see people from other camps, from other churches that have a love walk and know the word a lot better than people in your own camp and churches and things like that. You know, we're all his. We're all individually his. The body of Christ isn't divided. Paul wasn't crucified for you. Peter wasn't crucified to you. You know, Paul said it this way. He said, Paul, Cephas, he says, we are yours and you are Christ and Christ is God's. So what is that? The point is, you know, you don't belong to a camp or a group. You belong to him. They're a table spread to help you grow and facilitate for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all come to the unity of the faith. So important to see that, to see this. To see this heart, don't feel ashamed or embarrassed. I need prayer. I need help. It's all right. That's the way it's supposed to be by design. That whole body coming together, surrounding that hurt part, to love that hurt part. And the world sees that and goes, wow, that's the kind of family I want to be a part of. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Be blessed and know that you are not alone. Not only is God with you and in you, but you have a family who loves you and is with you as well, too. Praise God.